word of the Lord from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord of heavenly forces. My very being longs, even yearns, for the Lord's courtyards. My heart and my body will rejoice out loud to the living God. Yes, the sparrow too has found a home there. The swallow has found herself a nest where she can lay her young beside your altars, Lord of heavenly forces, my King, my God. Those who live in your house are truly happy. They praise you constantly. Those who put their strength in you are truly happy. Pilgrimage is in their hearts. As they pass through the Baca Valley, they make it a spring of water. Yes, the early rain covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength until they see the supreme God in Zion. Lord God of heavenly forces, hear my prayer. Listen closely, Jacob's God. Look at our shield, God. Pay close attention to the face of your anointed one. Better is a single day in your courtyards than a thousand days anywhere else. I would prefer to stand outside the entrance of my God's house than live comfortably in the tents of the wicked. The Lord is a sun and a shield. God is favor and glory. The Lord gives, does not withhold, all good things to those who walk with integrity. Lord of heavenly forces, those who trust in you are truly happy. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. My name is Linda Erickson, and I'm one of your elders here on session. Neil asked me to be part of this sermon series this summer because I'm also a seminary student with Fuller Theological Seminary, and he thought it would be a really good experience. Now, I told him I hadn't had that class yet. But he said it would be really good practice. So all of you lucky people, here we go. I chose Psalm 84 because I read it a couple years ago in one of my classes, and I love the verses about the birds. Some of you know that I volunteer up at Paws Wildlife Rehabilitation Center up in Linwood, and I really do love working with the birds. One of my very favorite jobs in the summer is to help feed the baby birds. And so when I read this verse in the Bible about birds building nests and feeding their babies, I thought, whoa, that's really cool. However, the more time I spent with this psalm in preparation for today, I realized that it spoke deeply to the way which I experience my relationship with God. And I learned this psalm is about longing, expectation, and discovery. Now, one time or another, we have all felt an ache inside of us when we've seen something way too beautiful to put in words. Maybe it's a sunset or a brand new baby, newborn, or when we hear a piece of music and it makes us feel kind of sad and happy. Or we remember an experience. Usually that's something tied to a particular place. And it's so tender and special, we long to return to that place. Now, C.S. Lewis writes about this in his essay, The Weight of Glory. If you ever get a chance to read that, I really encourage it. It's not terribly long, and it's a pretty cool piece. He writes, the books or the music in which we thought the beauty was located will betray us if we trust to them. It was not in them, it only came through them. And what came through them was longing. These things, the beauty, the memory of our own past, are good images of what we really desire. But if they are mistaken for the thing itself, they turn into dumb idols, breaking the hearts of their worshipers. For they are not the thing itself. They are only the scent of a flower we have not found, the echo of a tune we have not heard, news from a country we have never yet visited. So that ache we feel is longing that is built into us, and it draws us to the one who made us, God. We belong to him, so we long to be with him. In verse 2, the psalmist cries out, my very being longs, even yearns for the Lord's courtyards. My heart and my body will rejoice out loud to the living God. In Psalm 84, this pilgrim's heart is being drawn to Jerusalem and the temple, to the presence of God. It was a holy place, and worship there was a holy time. I suspect that each of you have a memory of a special holy place and time that you revisit in your heart and that you long to return to. Take a moment right now and just think about that time, that holy time, a moment or a season in your life when you keenly sense the presence of God. Mine. Mine is up in the fjords of British Columbia in BC, in the Princess Louisa Inlet, about 3 miles on past Young Life's Malibu camp. It's in the base camp for Beyond Malibu, which is Young Life's hiking program. Every week during the summer, the guides take campers up onto the peaks that are around that inlet. I think it's probably, for me, the most beautiful place on earth. You know, the mountains up there, they just come straight down into the water, covered with those fir trees. Everything is green and gray and blue. And when you go out in the boat, the harbor seals all pop their heads up out of the water and they watch you go by. So I worked up at base camp in the summer of 1980, long, long time ago, right after I graduated from the University of Washington. In fact, Jerry, my husband, who wasn't my husband at that time, helped me with my applications. I wanted to get out of the city and take a break from a very long and very stressful senior year at the UW, and also to get away from my toxic relationship with my boyfriend. I was very unhappy, and I didn't know what to do. But what I didn't know was that God wasn't going to give me a break, but use that time at Beyond to compel me to examine my spiritual life and all that entails. I don't know, has anybody been up to Malibu or Beyond? Yes. Well, in 1980, it was extremely remote. It's still remote, but then there was no internet. All communication outside base camp was by a two-way radio. There wasn't any electricity. Now there's a little bit of electricity. But then we used propane, and we had lanterns for light. And still, actually, you can only get there by boat or by float plane. All we had at that time was our community of about 30 people, our own selves, and the Holy Spirit. And I have to say, it was the hardest, the most discouraging, exhausting and challenging, not in a good way, experience for me, because I had to confront and examine my own confused relationship with God and come to terms with my very damaged relationship with my boyfriend. And God met me in my pain and my fears. And by the way, I did break up with my boyfriend, but that's another story. Happy to tell you later. So that summer remains a watershed experience for my life. Many, many Beyond alumni refer to their lives as before they went to Beyond and after they went to Beyond. Remarkable things happen to campers on their trips, but remarkable things also happen to the staff every summer. Now, my memories of that time are bittersweet. It is a place I truly feel at home, yet, you know, I have to live here in Shoreline. That's okay. So I recognize the psalmist's cry, "My very being longs, even yearns for the Lord's courtyards." So I think our poet, for him, the experience of being on the temple grounds was so deeply satisfying, he didn't really need to do anything. I picture him leaning against a building, watching and thoroughly enjoying the festival spectacle. He'd be seeing pilgrims speaking multiple languages, colorful and exotic costumes, the chaos of families with lots of excited children, international visitors from all around the ancient world, the smells and sounds from the ritual sacrifices, the chanting and the singing. And then from up above, he hears cries from the swallows or the swifts. So he looks up and he pauses. He watches them flying all around, catching insects on the wing, taking food to their nestlings. And the crowd's sounds fades away. Our poet is entranced. And as he watches, though, he notices that the nests, crevices between the stones, are up high all around above the altar. Their homes are in the presence of God. The psalmist writes, "Yes, the sparrow too has found a home there. The swallow has found herself a nest where she can lay her young beside your altars, Lord of heavenly forces, my King, my God. Those who live in your house are truly happy. They praise you constantly." So while I was doing some research on this psalm, seminary student, you do research, I found out something pretty wonderful. Just like the swallows that return annually to Mission San Juan Capistrano in California, the common swift, this little bird, migrates from South Africa every spring, to nest in the Western Wall. We also call it the Wailing Wall, in Jerusalem, and also at other ancient sites like the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. The scientists who study this little bird and its migration believe that the Western Wall may be the oldest common swift nesting site in the world. So it is possible, I like to think about this, that these little birds are the ones that are written about in the psalm. Now, every spring, the modern city of Jerusalem now holds a special welcoming ceremony when this little bird, this swift, returns. And I found a video that shows the welcoming ceremony in 2013, and if it works, I wanted to share it with you.
Traditional welcome ceremony and the Western Wall. We want to welcome the swifts on their return to a nest in the Western Wall.
We believe the swifts have the power to get people together. The swifts in the holy city of Jerusalem are a symbol of freedom, of love. They fly over in the late afternoon, you see that over here.
אנחנו בהחלט רואים בראייה מאוד מאוד רחבה את הזכות של האדם והחי לחיות ביחד.
I think what better example can we have than these swifts who choose to come every year in the spring, and they've been doing this for thousands of years. There is such symbolism in their ability to migrate through continents and come to their nesting places. I would like to invite 5 dear colleagues who have been with us and to offer their prayers in symbolism as we stand at this great moment by the Western Wall.
الحمد لله رب العالمين
בכל מה שבראתי בשבילך בראתי תן דעתך שלא תקלקל ותחריב את עולם
It is you that created all that is And as we look at these birds as they return, we too long to return to this place and to other places that remind us that we are not alone.
So I've looked at this several times and I just get kind of teary every time. I wonder if this is what the psalmist may have watched. Now, shifting to the next section of the psalm, he shifts his attention from the temple to the journey of the temple. Those who put their strength in you are truly happy. Pilgrimage is in their hearts. The ancient Israelites were required to worship at the temple for 3 festivals: the Festival of Weeks, which we call Pentecost, the Festival of Booths, Sukkot, Thanksgiving Harvest Festival, and Passover. These pilgrims would have traveled with a large band of family and friends. And for our psalmist, a significant part of the festival experience is the actual traveling. Going to Jerusalem was a requirement. It was part of the law. And by traveling, the pilgrims are living out a sacred rite. Their act of obedience opened their hearts and souls to receive God's abundant life and love. In the same way the psalmist notes as rain blesses the land. Verses 6 and 7, as they pass through the Baca Valley, they make it a spring of water. Yes, the early rain covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength until they see the supreme God in Zion. Now, part of the joy of traveling to places we love is that we can share it with the people we love. So my long-desired return to Beyond was satisfied about 10 years ago when Jerry and I took our 4 kids, who were teenagers then, up back to spend a week in base camp. And it really was a wonderful week, probably for me because I didn't have to do any work. I just got to be there. But I really did love introducing that place that meant so much to me to my children. And in fact, one of my sons, Stephen, went back the next year as a camper. Our whole family entered into the community. We shared meals. We engaged in really good conversation. We did some work projects around the base camp, and we shared worship. And it was later, after I was back home here, And I realized I had come full circle. My family was a blessing that God gave me. He showered me with those good things after almost 20 years earlier, I had handed over to him my messy, painful life. Here we are. That's just before we left that week, we took our Christmas picture. And Jerry has the camera. I just love this picture. I wanted to share it with you. It was really fun. I love remembering that time. So the psalmist also remembers, better is a single day in your courtyards than 1,000 days anywhere else. I would prefer to stand outside the entrance of my God's house than live comfortably in the tents of the wicked. You know, it wasn't the physical location, I think, where our psalmist wants to be. The temple was the thin space, as it were, between this world and God's heavens. For the ancient Israelites, it was a conduit between his people and the holy God. The psalmist longs to be with God, to spend time in his presence, and the courtyards are the place where he meets God. What this psalm teaches me, and I hope will say to you, is that we are made to want to be with God, to desire him. We are kingdom people, and we long to see our King face to face. We have heard news from a country we have never yet visited. But even now, we can respond, not at the temple, but through prayer, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and enter into God's presence. He wants us to enjoy being with him. There's no need to talk or perform. There's no recriminations, no shame, no bargaining, no fear. Just being together. Our pilgrim hearts long to make the journey to his presence, to settle into the courtyard, and open ourselves to receive the abundant life he has already given us. So please pray with me. Oh dear God, we long to know you and walk in your way. We take joy in your abundant love for us, and we ask your help through the Holy Spirit to show that same love to the folks in our lives. Thank you for your holy scriptures, and especially this day for the Psalms. Please teach us to read and listen with open hearts as we draw near to you on our pilgrim journey. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And amen and amen.